This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A disappointing exit in the Pizza Cup and some more injury worries. Not the best night last night. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Q&A stream, which means we want you to set the agenda. So do get that chat filled up with questions, and we'll try and make the whole show revolve around what you want spoken about. But we did have a game last night in the Pizza Cup. 2-0 defeat at home to Pompey. Joe, you were there. Initial thoughts on the game before we get into questions.
I thought the first half hour was really good, and then after that it was a pretty poor sort of disjointed performance from that point on. We struggled to play out from the back. Portsmouth really sort of pressed the life out of us, and we sort of won those games. We sort of made enough changes that it was disjointed, but not enough changes that it was a weak team. So I think everyone would have been disappointed with it, what they saw there. But you look at it and you've got sort of Caden Jackson playing as a number nine on his own, and it really doesn't suit him in this role, in this team. You had Kamara playing as a 10, and he struggled really, sort of slowed us down quite often with the ball and still doesn't quite look fit. You had, obviously, Marcus Harness going off, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. And then, rather than bring on a Wes Burns, you have sort of Xander Caesar come on. So you can see what how sort of much respect we were giving it. We sort of put a decent team out, but we sort of probably made as many changes as we could. But like I say, when you looked at one point, we played a 4-2-3-1 with Kane, Vincent Young on the right, an unfit Panucci Kamara in the middle, and Xander Zizibar on the left. So, and then Caden Jackson up front in the four. That's a big come down from Wes Burns, Connor Chaplin, Marcus Harness, and Freddie Ladapo, isn't it? And like I say, that's where it mattered. But we could have gone ahead. We had two really good chances relatively early on. Greg Lee with probably his first touch, point blank header from 2 yards, which didn't make the highlights, but was well saved. And I'd say there was a penalty incident at the end. It didn't look a penalty to me, but Kieran McKenna seemed to think it was one. I'm sure he's had a better view and watched more replays than I have. And then you get a penalty in the 90th minute, and all of a sudden you're a shootout away from being in the next round. But I think when McKenna came out after the game and said that now gives us a free week between, I think, was it the Wickham game and the Peterborough game later in the season? Well, I think there's your answer there, isn't it? I think you're quite happy to have that now, aren't you?
Can see the questions filling up. We'll get to them in a second. Evening, Seb, what was your take generally on broadly on last night?
Like what Joe said, you know, the biggest disappointment obviously is injury to Harness, that I'm sure we'll discuss in detail. Looking at the side when he announced it, it was, you know, strong, but I guess we are slightly limited now by the number of bodies that we've got out missing. And yeah, just a bit of a frustrating one. I wasn't there. Obviously, I've seen the highlights, and I've seen some footage recorded from inside the ground. It looks like we had our chances of the Greg Lee header and the Kamara header in the first half. If one of those goes in, it's a different game, isn't it? But it is what it is. I don't think that, you know, having the injury list we've got, I'm not that bothered that we're ticking one less fixture to have to come up against in December. It's frustrating. A trip out to Wembley would be lovely. We're still going to have the stat of being one of, was it 6 or 7 teams that haven't played at the new Wembley.
It gets lower each year, Seb, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it is what it is. You know, we all know that the overall goal this year for, you know, is one goals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are promotion. Anything else is a bit of a bonus. And you know, if going out now saves us some bodies later on down the line, then so be it. A frustrating evening, but look at the longer term picture. I'm not that fussed, in all honesty.
Well, we are still in the FA Cup with regards to that Wembley thing. We only actually have to get to the semi final to play there.
Oh, very nice too. Ever the optimist, Joseph. Get your questions coming in, guys. I can see Craig in the green room. We'll bring him in just a sec as well. He was at the game. Just quickly, Flim Flam says, RIP to both David and Wilco Johnson. Obviously, Wilco Johnson, great guitarist. David Johnson, we're not going to speak about tonight because we're going to let David Diamond, who will do that way better than any of us could ever dream to do. He is going to deal with that. So there will be comment on the career, hopefully a sort of celebratory type thing from Dave on the great David Johnston. Johnson. Craig, welcome, hello, my friend. The boys have just given their take on last night. You just want to quickly give yours. We'll get to the questions, guys. Keep them coming in. But you go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, obviously I didn't hear what the guys were saying because I was throwing a jacket potato down.
Absolute rot from both of them. Talk some sense.
Token. it's just horribly disjointed, wasn't it, really? You could tell there was a team who hadn't played very much football recently. The guys who were sort of either hadn't been in the team or coming back from injury looked like they hadn't been in the team or were coming back from injury, unfortunately. And what has been a pretty solid defence looked all over the place last night. Poor old Wolfie was out of position to accommodate Keogh, and Edmondson had a bit of a shocker. So Wolfie wasn't there to cover for him. It was Keogh who was having to cover for the mistakes that Edmondson was seemingly making pretty often at the back. And then up front, we looked like we had I said in the Telegram chat, it looked like we had a right back, a defensive midfielder, and a raw youngster behind a guy who can't play up front by himself, unfortunately. It just didn't work. You know, no one was really showing for the ball when Humphreys had it, when Morsy had it. The front four weren't showing for it. And we, again, for a fourth consecutive home game, we huffed and puffed and had an awful lot of shots, but didn't really ever look like we were going to create anything of any note, let alone score, unfortunately.
Nice.
As Rob was saying, a lot of it was to get minutes into legs, wasn't it? You know, Lee looked as probably sharp as he could do after the layoff that he'd had. Kamara looked rusty as hell, but, you know, it's another considerable amount of minutes in his legs, so he looks like he'll be having to have more of an input sooner rather than later as well.
It did feel like a reserves game, you know, where the first team manager said, I want to get 60 minutes into him, 90 minutes into him, 45 minutes into him, and the reserve team manager just has to find a way to make that happen, and the game plan goes out the window. But like I say, if that's what McKenna and the club wanted to get out of it, then I don't think we're really in a position to grumble too much at it when you look at the progress we're making in the league at the moment.
100%. Right, let's get into some questions. Get that chat filled up with questions. I'm sure there'll be something on Marcus Harner, so we'll wait for that. Mark Ashton, we'll go to Seb on this then, did another interview on the sort of club media and the YouTube over there. He was asked about January, but with a couple of central midfield issues now and also Harness, what are you looking at in terms of January? And Charlie's added there in terms of outgoings as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, I guess we've got three spaces if we deregister Ball, haven't we? So we can bring in two to the squad already as it stands at the moment. If we take Ball out, if he is done for the season, which it sounds like he is, then we can bring in three players. It sounds like from that interview, some deals are already in talks and some appear to be maybe a bit further down the line than others. I guess we'll have to wait and see. You know, we clamoured out for a striker for kind of the last 6 to 8 weeks, but you know, has that now been fixed? John Jules, well, I guess we need to know the extent of his injury to make a decision on him if we're going to send him back. And
look, he had surgery last week, John Jules.
So you'd imagine that's
what that means, yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at a good couple of months then at least for that, aren't you, coming back? So maybe we do need a body in the forward positions. And I guess some central midfield cover is the area that's crying out at the moment. You know, Kamara isn't up to fitness yet. Evans has been out for a month. I think he was 2 months, two and a half months out in total. And obviously Humphreys is probably playing more football than we might like him to at this stage. So central midfield for me would be an obvious one and maybe a forward option if John Jules is out for the longer term.
I still think this squad lacks just a bit of nous and experience in terms of, yeah, I know we talked about this earlier in the season, and Keogh maybe coming in as a bit of a, you know, kind of wise old head. Maybe if it's a central midfielder coming in and it's a lone player, Joe, maybe from the Championship, is that where you can maybe bring in someone to tick that box as well, do you think?
Yeah, because you want to look at the long-term plan of what you've got in place. And obviously, whilst Lee Evans and Dominic Ball are injured, they're both contracted for all of next season as well. Obviously, Cameron Humphreys is contracted for all of next season, as is Sam Morsy, as is Panucci Kamara. So you've got five central midfielders there. So when you're looking to bring someone in, are you wanting to bring someone in for the longer term, knowing what you've already got in the club, or are you just looking for someone that can just bring some experience in for a few months and sort of just trying to help you see you over the line, maybe like when Richie Wellens came in previously, or someone of that ilk had been there, seen it, done it, guy who can come in and hit the ground running and just play some football for us for a few months and see where it gets to at the end of the season. But I don't know, every window is tough because there's always so many sort of spinning balls that you have to sort of keep up in the air, or spinning plates you need to keep up in the air with regards to ongoing contract situations, money that you're spending. Are you able to bring players in who are good enough to go up to the Championship with you? Are there players who are out of contract in the summer that you might be able to pick up at a good fee in January? I know there's a lot of choice, isn't there?
That's the same with the striker, isn't it? You know, do you get someone just to get you over the line and everyone shakes hands in May, June and says, thanks very much for your help? You have to do well to find a player who's willing to do that. So therefore, you think it's probably going to be a loan, unless you can pull something ridiculous out of the bag and get someone who's going to take you to, you know, call, hopefully come along with you to the journey when you go up. Because, you know, I've already got Ladapo, who didn't fancy or fancied a few more quid in the League One rather than playing in the Championship this season for his existing club. So is he one that's going to be, you know, nailed on for a start or in around the squad next year? You don't know.
I remember the Sheffield United Championship promotion, Craig. People will forget they took Gary Medine on loan and Scott Hogan, who barely played on it. He actually scored against us, didn't he, in the game they went up. But Sometimes it's just, yeah, just beef out that squad a little bit. And like you say, nice little promotion bonus and a handshake at the end of it. Speaking of handshakes, our favourite contributor, David, is alive and well with a €20 super sticker. I'll drink to that as well. Thank you so, so much, David. Such a kind supporter of the podcast, and we thank you kindly. Sorry, let me scroll up a little bit. Andrew, well, let's go to Craig on this one then. Should we perhaps not play any first team players in the Buxton game to avoid any more injuries? We are in very much damned if you do, damned if you don't territory with this one, aren't you, in terms of the manager?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to be going, excuse me. Obviously, you've got to treat it with caution. You know, I'd imagine Greg Lee will get another good chunk of minutes under his belt, because you know it's a long time between last night and Sunday. And we've got an extra day, haven't we, in effect? So it does give people a time to recover. You'd have thought Keogh will play again. Edmondson will play again. Don't know what the situation with Dinassi, and you may just give him another a week's rest sort of thing. So I don't think we're in the realms of having to play a reserve team. But obviously, getting a bit further forward, I can't imagine it'd be too dissimilar to last night's team, to be perfectly honest. Maybe you'll bring Chaplin in for a little bit of a, you know, just to keep him fresh for the following Friday, it'll be, won't it? I think we're at home with Forest Green. I can't see it being too dissimilar to last night. Obviously, we'll have Hadmi back, won't we? So maybe we'll get him to have a full 90 or the thick end of 90 minutes for him, hopefully, rather than having Jackson doing nothing up front by himself.
I think when you look at the sort of two-week gap between Exeter and Fleetwood game. Obviously, we've got the game last night in that and the Buxton game in it. I think probably you're going to want to give each one of your first-team players at least one game out of the two, aren't you, just to keep them ticking over, unless they've got a knock. But like, so I'd imagine Leif Davis will come back in, Janoi Dinassian will come back in, Cameron Burgess will have a full game. I think you just want to make sure everyone's ticked over with one game in that period and try and have as few as people as possible playing two games. But in the central midfield, we don't really have any options. So no, you imagine it's going to be Sam Morsy and Cameron Humphreys again.
I'd be surprised if Davis and Dinassian play again, or certainly start again, because the sheer amount of minutes they've played recently, you know, certainly Dave. Maybe he'll come on. He'll do the reverse Greg Lee role that Lee used to do for him at the beginning of the season. Maybe come off the last half hour just to, as Joe says, just to keep him ticking over.
McKenna, and he want to get some minutes into Edwards. Well, only Edwards couldn't play last night, obviously, so he'll want to get some minutes into him, I would have thought. So I think it will be fairly strong. I think it will be like Joe and Craig say, it will be kind of the players that didn't feature last night mixed with some players still needing a bit of fitness, and hopefully we can get the game won, and then you can look to bring on maybe some of the youth from the bench if need be in the second half and rest some for the Fleetwood game.
Said as much, didn't he, the manager, about Morsi and Humphreys. You said he didn't really want to be playing them, but had no choice. So I think, yeah, we know where that's going to go. Barles, who can we get as a striker from the Championship, Ben? I was doing a stream this morning and someone was talking about Lyle Taylor not even being registered, I think, at Nottingham Forest, which is your experienced bit of a Shorthouse as well, play with back to goal, which was an interesting conversation. I'd have to have a good look down the tables, but yeah, someone in that ilk of the Scott Hogan, and you know, maybe they're on the bench every week. I'm not saying we're going to get Scott Hogan now. He scored 9 goals for Birmingham, but in that comparison to the Sheffield United promotion, right? Let's go on to Harness then. Seb, I think I heard a rumor that's not necessarily true, but we've got our fingers crossed on. I've got one side crossed for Harry Kane and the other for Marcus Harris at the moment, Seb, but we could really, really do without him dropping out, couldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, do we read into McKenna's comments post-match where he said he doesn't look great? Is he kind of preparing us for bad news? I don't know. I assume there was some sort of scan today, or there will be one tomorrow. And then we'll hear, and that would be a real, real blow if he were out for any significant kind of long term, then we'd have to go out in January and probably strengthen that forward area again. I guess that's the problem with these kind of games, isn't it? You know, it's a relatively meaningless game in the grand scheme of things, and all it takes is one injury and suddenly it turns a disappointing night into a really bad night. But fingers crossed it won't be that bad. All I can keep thinking of, do you remember when Freddie Sears went off against, was it Norwich? And it didn't look that bad. Yeah, it didn't look that bad, did it, when he went off and then suddenly he was out for like a year. That's kind of the absolute worst case scenario. But
let's just think of the times when the players have just hobbled off and looked fine and then been back the next week instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he didn't go off on a stretch thing, did he? He hobbled off, you said, with help from the medical staff. So hopefully it's not too bad and we'll get some positive news, because we do need it on that injury front at the moment, don't we?
He got carried past the stretcher, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right. The stretcher stayed exactly where it was on the back of that little trolley while he got carried by two members of staff around the pitch and past the stretcher.
Brilliant.
We'll stay with you then, Craig. James, since our takeover and the increase in fan attendances, does anyone else feel increased frustration with our own supporters in the stands, the absolute nonsense you hear in person and online? Expectations, I mean, look, let's be honest, football supporters, and I include all four of us in that, are at best irrational and at worst just a complete juvenile babies. But with increased expectation and attendances, is that something you're seeing from where your seat is, Craig?
I don't see it from where I normally sit, up in the top tier of the Pioneer Magnus stand, in the right in the corner. It's not too bad, to be perfectly honest. But I think you're right there, Ben, is that it's just expectation, isn't it? You know, understandably, people have had expectations since the American guys took over. With it, you get increased attendances, people who don't normally maybe have attended matches very recently, who come along with that expectation already sort of hardwired into them. And you know, certainly these home games have been a frustration. Luckily the away games are sort of keeping us ticking over, and I said the fans there aren't too bad. But so last night was a bit of an eye-opener for me. I was sitting in Y block last night, so there was a lot of tutting going on in Y block. Get it forward and that sort of thing. Although it wasn't a great
performance. Stop messing around with it.
Yeah, very much so. It was very much that that line of questioning. But so, yeah, I think it just comes hand in hand with the as the question said, it comes hand in hand with the increased attendances, because they say they're people who haven't had to sit through Ipswich 0 Hull 3 at home on a cold Tuesday night not that long ago. I'm thoroughly enjoying myself at the moment, to be perfectly honest.
Can you name Jared Bowen definitely scored one of those goals. Did Harry Wilson? Can you get Joe? You must be able to do it.
I think Harry Wilson
goal scorers.
Harry Wilson
Bowen, Irvine, oh, no, was it one of the central midfielders drive one in? I can't remember. Anyway, what happy days they were losing 3-0 to
exactly. That's all you got to look back to. Just remember,
to be fair though, Jared Bowen and bloody Harry Wilson, they're some players. They, I think it was first
year. I don't think Bowen scored.
Didn't he come on and put one in from a real tight angle? Oh, yeah, angle? It was.
Marcus Henriksen, Harry Wilson and Jared Bowen.
Marcus Henriksen, I would have been here literally, well, I probably would have died first rather than been here all my entire lifetime before I named that one. But there we go. Joe, we keep getting this. I think this is... I think this person, Romeo, has answered their own question here. Is the Morgan Whittaker link realistic or just someone stirring up some mischief? This seems like a fan-generated, motivated link, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we know Phil that, wouldn't put it on TWTD, would he, if it wasn't...
Is it on TWTD?
Yeah, it was on TWTD. Oh, okay. So Phil wouldn't put it on there unless there was something to it. So I'm sure there is. And as I say, I think there's... I'm sure Plymouth fans would say, well, why would he leave us to go to Ipswich when he's doing well here? But we don't know what Swansea see is his next path of development. Do they want to get him to a bigger club with more expectation on him? Or is there a chance we could do a loan deal, obviously paying a bigger fee with bigger wages? I'm sure that would be the case. Or one with a look to buy him in the summer if we put an agreed fee on the deal, if we go up, for example. So... So we none of us know what Swansea are thinking, but I don't think outlandish.
Can I just chip in there quickly, Joe? Because I remember doing Championship stuff. I think he was a punt in the first place for Swansea, and that was not under Russ Martin as well. If memory serves correctly, he was the first one out the door after the administration at Derby that could have been got cheaply, if you know what I mean. And it felt a little bit like... okay, you know, we'll take him and we'll see how it goes. And they've changed manager since. So when you say depends what Swansea think of him, sadly, he's a good player. I don't think they think a lot of him, bless him.
No, and they're not on particularly direct side. Well, he's quite direct, isn't he, in his attacking play. But we know from Macaulay Bonn and Christian Walton last year, every loan has to be renegotiated in January now. And we've seen teams like Swindon have four really good loan players like Scott Twine and that, and lose them all in January. We've seen Milton Keynes lose four players in January who are doing well and they're flying in the league. That the parent clubs don't care how well the player is doing at the club. They just want to find either a way to get more money. If Plymouth want to keep him, with the way he's played this season, chances are they're probably going to need to stump up more money to renegotiate that deal. That's what happens. I say Christian Walton last year, Brighton were going to call him back just to have him as their fourth choice keeper before they released him in the summer.
Well, Charlton arguably got relegated because Conor Gallagher was taken halfway through the season because Chelsea wanted to bump him up the league to Swansea. Keep your questions coming in, guys.
But like generally, you have to look at loans. They're not season-long loans. They're half-season loans, and they have to be resorted again in January, nearly all of them. Mm. Unless Joe Piggott, for example, to Portsmouth is not that, because that must have been part of the the Marcus Harness deal, that there was no break clause in January.
El Mazzouni comes up a fair bit, Seb, doesn't he? Is that it could work, couldn't it?
It could do, yeah. He's doing very well down at Leighton Orient, isn't he, by all accounts? He had an injury, but I think he's flying again now. And yeah, I guess that's part of the kind of almost the future building, isn't it? You know, we were discussing earlier about bringing in a wily, experienced, streetwise head, or he's the opposite. You know, you bring him in and you give him kind of 4, 5, 6 months to look at him and make a decision if he can make the grade here, if we go up, or if he's going to move on permanently in the summer. I don't think Harper would be on the same kind of page for me. You know, he's barely featuring. I'm sorry, player of the year, Rakeem Harper. He's barely featuring, isn't he, down at Exeter. So, you know, El Mazzouni, no issue with that one. But, you know, like we said earlier, if you could get somebody a little bit more streetwise from the league above, you'd probably do that just to tide you over and leave him kind of flying where he is because he's doing very well. That's probably a bit better for him than coming in and playing 4 or 5 games and then taking a back seat when the likes of Evans and stuff start to come back in again.
You'll get a clear indication of what we think of El Mazzouni if we still are struggling and we don't end up bringing him back, I suppose, won't you? It is still a jump. You know, we're second in League One looking to progress, and he's first, second in League Two looking to...
They're really good, Craig.
Yeah, yeah. But there's still got who he's playing against each week. It's still a fair old jump.
Yeah, fair comment.
But it's difficult to bring someone in when it's like your role is going to be back up to Sam Morsey, and you're probably going to play 4 games between now and the end of the season when he's suspended. And and unless he gets injured, it's a hard role to sell to someone. And maybe El Mazzouni would be the best person to have that here, have him in and around the first team training, because he's got another, I think, 2 years after this one on his contract.
Motivation, yeah.
And I don't know, it's a very hard sell to bring someone in that role. But when we've got somebody who is excelling in the, yes, in the division below, but playing a deep role, playing a similar role to what Morsey's playing for us here, he seems a very natural backup to him.
And he strikes a sort of character who'd come back and actually fight for it as well, didn't he?
True, true. Guys, keep that chat full of questions. We are just going to go to a quick message from one of our wonderful sponsors and we'll get back to the Q&A.
Innovation Labs is business hub and co-working space with strategic locations across Suffolk. Our aim is to foster innovation, entrepreneurship, business growth, and the development of an AI centre of excellence in Suffolk. Monthly hot desks are available from just £79. For more info, head to innovationlabsgroup.com or contact info@innovationlabsgroup.com. Innovation Labs, providing support for businesses across Suffolk. Locations in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, Woodbridge, with more to follow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, thank you to Innovation Labs partnering up with the podcast. Right, keep the questions coming in. Who am I going to go to? Craig. They know who they want already, don't they? Yes, you would hope, though. Look, there's probably two lists, aren't there? And there will have been one hastily written after the Dom Ball injury, right, as well. There's two sides to this, isn't there?
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't got... we're not hamstrung by the fact that there's going to be no one around, or just Lee O'Neill by himself. Where happened to Lee O'Neill? Still around. just by himself with a couple of post-it notes.
Lee O'Neill's knocking down Staples.
Hard hat and high viz.
And a clip. Go ahead, Craig.
Yes, they do know who they want. But as I say, you've got faith that they will have a list. They've probably got umpteen lists, and they've got umpteen players on those umpteen lists, haven't they? We are now in the realms where we do have Paul Cook's recruitment room to hopefully cover all eventualities. And indeed, it's quite interesting listening to that fantastic interview that the Kings of Anglia guys did with Ashton about, they talked about the manager succession planning as well. That was quite an interesting little piece. But no, long answer to a short question. Yes, they will know exactly who they want. And as Ashton said, they've started to have conversations with people to get the ball rolling. It won't be the David Norris entire length of January before he signs right at the very end. I don't think it'll be the first few days of January, I thought.
Oh yeah, signed on the 15th of December, announced on the 31st of December, playing on the 2nd of January. Yeah.
But in fairness, it's easy to sort of criticise past regimes, but we did spend the whole summer chasing George Hurst to end up with Ghassan Haddmi this summer, didn't we? So it's you might have this target, what you want, but if the selling club isn't playing ball, at some point you have to move on, and we might be in that position where we're going right to the end of the window, seeing how far we can push it.
It's going to be too late though, Joe, isn't it? I don't know how many games do you lose going all the way to the end of January? Probably another 3-4. And I mean, I don't know how stacked up the January is. I think there was a couple of tricky ones. Look, you're never that far from a tricky game in League One with the half and half status. But there we go. Charlie, new pitch on the way. Seb, what else does the ground need? It did sound exciting, the whole, new turnstiles on the back of Churchman's and a temporary car park by the sounds of it, but they might be able to do something else there. Was Mark Ashton responsible for the cinema stuff at Bristol City as well? It's all very sleek and lovely around there, isn't it now?
I'm sure he'll lay claim to it.
on the pod, he alluded to they've got the property expertise from the three lines. Is it Mark Detmer is the property guy over there? So, you know, when you look at these American stadiums, they have so much stuff going on. I'm sure they've got some sort of watered down version for what they want there. Sounds like we might be getting some kind of almost maybe a fan zone type thing or something at that end of where Staples currently is after poor Lee O'Neill finishes his knocking it down. And obviously the big thing is the cobbled stand. You know, it's the oldest stand there. Now, I guess they might have longer term plans, he said, didn't he, in the KO interview. He said we can then, once we've knocked down the Staples car park, we can discuss with the council about Portman Road and stuff. So I'd imagine they've got 5-10 year plans in place, and I guess we'll have to sit back and watch it. One thing that is interesting, do you remember when he first joined and he kind of said the ground is set up the wrong way, it's the entrance is facing away from the town?
Been saying that just 20 years, Seb, haven't they?
Yeah, I just wonder if he's looking at doing something, and maybe even just where the, you know, Staples is might make that a grand entrance. I don't know.
I think that was mentioned, wasn't it, that they were, that you sort of would then be able to open up that front of the ground a bit more from that side, I think, as part of it. So
yeah,
I'd imagine that. But there's another guy that's sort of a new operations manager, isn't there? I think he's been previously like Aston Villa and Rangers possibly. So there's, we've got some proper expertise in there. So
Mr. L. O'Neill, was it?
Yeah. But I wonder, obviously Seb mentioned the cobbled stand there, but you talk about like Portman Road is shut for the length of the cobbled stand now. Is there that potential where that road is just totally finished now? You don't need it there anymore because it's been shut off since the neighbourhood plans, as I think part of COVID, they shut a load of sort of rat runs off, didn't they, through the town centre? And that part of the ground is shut now. Is that a chance to expand back to make that into a real impressive stand? Obviously not any time now, but in the next...
Again,
when we need to
visualise that Bristol City... Yeah, main stand. Yeah. It's exactly what you've just described. Mm. And they built back and then they built up, didn't they?
They'll definitely do that. They'll definitely encapsulate that bit of Portman Road. But then, and as we were talking about where they put the away fans, you may end up seeing the away fans in the south stand and then they can all shoot back off to the train station, can't they? Straight out the back of the stand after the train station sort of thing. If you want to hear the word egress mentioned about four dozen times, listen to the Kings of Anglia podcast.
What's that word, Craig?
Egress.
Egress. What does that mean?
Egress. Egress.
Leaves.
What's it mean?
Egress. It means egress.
You don't know, do you?
Leaving, exiting the state. No one's going to say exiting. He keeps saying the word egress. He's obviously just learned egress. It himself.
Well, my worry is I on a day like today, I get a lot of call outs for water ingress. So I much prefer egress.
This is the etymology of this said word, isn't it? Max effects. Lots of talk about players coming in. Can we see anyone leaving in January? I think we've had that. If TJJ needs surgery, then surely that's the last we see of him, Joe?
Well, he's had surgery. He doesn't need it. Hopefully not anymore. He's had it. So I don't know what the recovery is from these 6 weeks or so. Probably. I think he should be fit during January. So there, but players leaving, I don't really see anyone that would leave. I guess the only potential person is that if TJJ is fit, we do sign a striker. Maybe Gassan Ahadmi or someone like that goes out on loan somewhere to try and get some more football because you probably wouldn't need him. But when you look through the squad, Steve Steve Evans and Idge. But I can't really think
of
any.
Some Steve and Idge this season. Go on, Terry.
I can't really think of anyone, unless maybe Vaslav Hladký as well. If a club's willing to make him their number one, I think he'd quite happily go there.
I think as well with John Jules, he doesn't form part of ours. Registered squad, does he? So it's not any skin off Arno's, really. If we can keep still afford him,
and he's done all the training and the pre-season and everything, he knows all the ropes as well, Craig, doesn't he? Rob, Edmondson's form seems to be going in the opposite direction to Burgess. Discuss, Seb.
He had another mess up last night, didn't he? I saw it on the highlights. I think he plays a sloppy ball. He's trying to find somebody out on the left, Greg Lee, presumably, and they intercept and run forward. And yeah, it's a strange one because he got dropped and wasn't even making benches. Then he suddenly got himself back in the side because of Burgess's injury. And now it appears that Burgess and Wolfenden are going to be the kind of first choice central defensive pairing because of what Burgess can offer with the balance of a left footer and the strength and the no-nonsense stuff you sometimes need. It's surprising because, you know, last year after he had the late start and he came in against the Bolton game and we conceded five goals, but you know, he settled down pretty quickly and it was a big blow when he got injured in February, whenever it was, for the run-in. And I kind of thought maybe he's one that, you know, people might start showing a bit of interest in. But yeah, at the moment he is gonna have to kind of be patient, I guess. I assume he'll play against Buxton again alongside Keogh maybe as an excuse to give him some minutes, and then he's gonna have to probably sit out and wait for either one of Wolfenden or Burgess to drop off or get an injury, and then he can get himself back in the side. But it's probably not been the season he wanted so far. But unfortunately he does have a habit of making these, you know, these kind of brain farts, which unfortunately for him, every time he seems to do it, it seems to lead to a goal as well, so he gets highlighted more. But you know, he's a quality player. I really like him. I like what he offers when he can bring the ball out and look to move forward down the pitch. But I think he's going to have to be patient for a while. And for now, Burgess has got that shirt, I think.
There were four or five. I know we were only able to catch the highlights there, but that pass that he did there, that happened four or five times last night. Yeah. That wasn't a one-off. It was all game.
Was this just the lack of the intensity in the game, Joe, or something deeper?
I don't think he just struggled, didn't he? I think he struggled having Keogh next to him because when they've made a mistake, you got Luke Wolfenden who just sort of flies back to cover, and Keogh wasn't able to do that alongside him there. But yeah, Cameron Burgess has not made mistakes. He's played really well, sort of come back in, show no ill effects of that horrendous injury he's had. And like I say, he's got the shirt, as Seb said. And I hope George Edmondson doesn't get it back, because it means that Cameron Burgess has played well until the end of the season. And if he's done that, we're going to be in a very good position, aren't we?
Edmondson's confidence just seemed to just drain from him last night after one or two bad passes. And he kept, first half, he was stitching up poor old Hladke, passing it further back to him. And Hladke just definitely didn't want the ball. And then second half, he decided to pass it to Portsmouth for majority of the half, unfortunately.
Some facts in the comments here. Mark Ashton did indeed invent cinema, the king of the silver tongue and the silver screen. This is not my
When he stood up in that meeting, he said, "I'm going to get 18,000 season tickets," and he was scoffed at.
Scoffed. There we go. Keep your questions coming in, guys. What was that one from Michael? Craig, morning from Brisbane. Shows after Tuesday night. How much we need another number nine rather than trying to use Jackson in that position? Is that just a hard agree?
100%, yeah. Or we try Burgess. We've done it the last couple of home games, haven't we? We had Burgess up there in the last 10 minutes or so of the game. Yeah, he can't do it. Well, we all know he can't. Yeah, quite, yeah. Some more. Chris Sutton played up front at the back, didn't he?
Dion John Dublin. Charles.
Yeah. Ian Marshall.
Ian Marshall.
What was I saying?
Sorry, it's almost like someone's been talking complete drivel whilst you've been trying to answer the question.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was talking about now.
Caden Jackson, wasn't it? But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a number nine in the system, no. Is he? And the two times he's played there this season, which was Colchester in the League Cup and last night, we've struggled as a team because we haven't had that focal point. He's a chess piece now that McKenna likes to put on the left or the right to exploit a weakness. And like I say, best bit of work? He did yesterday. He got away down the side, takes a touch, looks up, finds Marcus Harness in the box. Harness, I think, laid it off to Morsey, who found Greg Lee. And Jackson is very good when he gets in those wide positions, but he's got to start wide, he just doesn't work in that central position in this team, does he?
It was needs must, wasn't it, last night, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But Sunday he won't be playing centre. I can't imagine he'll be playing in the middle.
I think Caden Jackson will make a lot of very important contributions to us for the rest of the season, because I think he's a good player, but he's not a number nine in this system we play.
Right, keep your questions coming in the chat. Seb, let me just throw at you the next few fixtures just to get your thoughts. And talking about January's and transfer windows, we're in this crazy run now, four consecutive home games, albeit two of those in the cup. So Buxton, Fleetwood, and then Peterborough. Wickham away, well, they're not quite the Wickham they were. Oxford and then Pompey away again takes us to the end of the year. What's jumping off the page for you there, Seb? What are your thoughts through to the end of the year
I guess the trickiest one, I'll probably be proved completely wrong, but the trickiest one looking at that list there for me is Pompey away. You know, Peterborough, I know they're one of the big boys, but their away form is so bad. And we're currently aren't we like 10 points ahead of them or something? Ronnie Edwards, I don't know if his red card has been challenged or if that can be overturned. I don't know, but they could be missing one of their key players. So for me, that and Fleetwood, you've got to win your home games. That Fleetwood and Oxford, we should be certainly looking to bag maximum points. And then it's the big one is Pompey away, isn't it? You know, we know what kind of game it'll be like. I know we beat them last year, but before that, I don't remember our record at Fratton Park being amazing. So that could be a bit of a tricky one going into January. But for those home games, you've got to pick up maximum points. I don't really see anything to fear either. You know, I know they're all stupid times because of the World Cup, but, you know, Fleetwood are pretty inconsistent. Peterborough rubbish away from home. Wickham away, like you say, is a bit of a tricky one. They've kind of found a bit of rhythm in recent weeks, and it's always going to be a difficult place to go to. Apart from last season, if you've got Selina on your side. And Oxford on Boxing Day, we know, you know, the kind of tricks and time wasting they might well bring out. But if we're serious about maintaining this push with Plymouth and Wednesday, we've got to win those home games. And then, yeah, Pompey away is the one that's jumping out at me.
Joe?
Yeah, well, it's just a good opportunity now for us to sort our home form out a little bit. And I know we're not in bad form, but it does seem at home where we struggle to break teams down, and they're going to come here and try and defend deep. We're away from home, we seem to get better. But I guess the big thing that jumps out is that it's with the game on against Lincoln on January the 2nd, it's effectively six games until the window opens, isn't it? Six league games. So if we are short of players, we've got six games to get through in a month, effectively. With
the issue we've got is that the home... Sorry, Joe, is that home form, as Seb was saying, that we just have so many shots and so few goals, don't we? I did a little tally. Last four home matches, I think it's 90 shots we've had. And scored two goals, I think we've scored, haven't we?
It's about two games worth of Joe Royal's side, isn't it, that?
Yeah, they were on. A lot of those are on target. A lot of ours aren't at the moment.
We'd have conceded 90 shots as well, though.
Yeah, very, very true. Guys, get some questions in the comments. I scroll down and I'm looking for stuff with question marks on the end. Get that filled up. We're prepared to go right the way through until the hour mark. But yeah, get some questions and we'll talk about anything you particularly want to. Quick plug for, no offence, Seb, but some real expertise on the preview show this week, because we've got someone who works for the opposing team, right?
Much better. Yeah, absolutely. None of this nonsense about 5'7" centre backs who turn out to be 6'3". None of that kind of rubbish. You'll hear some legitimate stuff. Yeah, we've got something up and coming on. I don't know when it's going out.
Friday.
Are we allowed to reveal who it is? Presumably.
Yes, yeah, go on.
Yeah, Mr. Tommy Miller, assistant manager at Buxton, has had a chat with Dave. I think it's been recorded tonight. So that'll be the pre-match offering this week, because he'll be able to offer way more expertise and clarity than me and Rich ever could. So yeah, make sure you watch that one coming down your feeds and get an insight into Buxton before Sunday.
It's always good to hear from Tommy Miller, isn't it? And as we said, yeah, we've acknowledged your messages about David Johnson the first and David Diamond. I think, actually, as we speak, we'll be recording something in reference for the great David Johnson, who has sadly died today. Right, Michael, are any of the young loan players to come back and play up front? That's a hard no, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, well, unless you're going to stick Elkin Baggett up there for his height.
Yeah, and looking at Gillingham's goals record, that's probably not going to work, is it?
I guess the interesting one, he's not alone, but Yenge is back. He's had a decent spell in Finland, but it's hard to know the difference there. But Tawanda Chirewa, whose name I can never say, is he in favour, out of favour, fit, not fit? I don't know, but he's a player that's scored goals basically every game for the under-23s for about 18 months now. So maybe in that 10 role, if Harness is injured, he might come into the rotation there, or will it be Zander Zizaba who comes in and trains up with the first team and actually gets opportunities in the league as well? Because I think he showed enough last night to sort of be there or thereabouts in the squad while we're so short if Harness is out for a long time.
Has Tyree Simpson kicked a single ball for Huddersfield yet?
He didn't say. He said he was not due to be fit until like this World Cup break. So we'll see where he is the other side of this. So whatever happened, he wasn't going to be playing until after this break anyway, whether he was here or there.
Mark Fotheringham says, guys, I want as many attackers on the pitch as possible. So we think, guys, he will get some football. Craig, A asks, how often do we get clean strikes on target? I don't really know what he means by that, so see if you can make head nor hair of that.
We don't get many unclean strikes on target either. That's the issue. We just don't get many shots on target. Certainly at home, we don't get many shots on target. Was it 1 out of 10 last night, wasn't it? It was Lincoln. It's like 5 out of 30. So, yeah, we for some reason, I don't know why. No, too fair, you know, there's a lot of blocks flying in, aren't there? And, you know, opposition teams are playing well against us at home, unfortunately. They're being very regimented, you know, very disciplined. They're setting up, as you know, the word's got around now that that's the way you need to set up against us at home, and we will struggle to break you down. If, you know, Chaplin's not having a not on it and Harness is injured, then you do sort of struggle to see where that little flicker glimmer of inspiration is going to come from in that front four. But yeah, since sort of Evans strikes a ball cleanly, he's Morsey never seems to strike a ball particularly cleanly. So yeah, so it's more about the shots on target rather than the technique. I'll just scuff one in if you want. I don't mind.
Plymouth love a clean strike, don't they? I think David Diamond's actually finished because he's entered the fray. Buxton centre back and captain has the wonderful name of Josh Granite. I'm sure David Diamond has got a granite worktop. where are we? Bart. Actually, Joe Fairs would show you how to install a granite. He'd do it for you. At this point, can each of you say where we'll finish? Need a number, boys. I'll start off by saying no, Bowles, and I'll stick with my Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth will all score over 88 points and one of them will have to go through the playoffs and may lose. But if anyone wants to give a less politician's answer to that than me, Seb?
First, we're the best side in the league. Why not? You know, I think we're better than Plymouth. I think we're better than Sheffield Wednesday. We've just got to sort out this home form and yeah, why not be confident? I'm going for winning the league.
Joe?
I'll let someone else finish the chant, but we're going up as playoff winners. That's not how it finishes, is it?
I hate it when I see opposition clubs podcasts like this. I think, oh, you smug bunch. Listen to you lot.
We've gone through so much crap. We're allowed to be.
Yeah, if we can't be happy this year, when can we be? Let's be honest.
Shut up, everyone. Let's.
No, like Seb, in all seriousness, I think we are the best team in the league, and I think when you look at nearly any metric, bar the sort of current points that Plymouth have got, I think we're the best team in the league, and I think we should win the league. I think Plymouth are going to struggle to have the staying power that us and Sheffield Wednesday have got, purely by the fact that, in fairness, we've got budgets that absolutely dwarf theirs, both Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday do. So we should finish in the top two, and I think we will.
As Bill said, you know, we will hopefully make the right signings in January as well. What cemented it for me was the Ian Westlake interview that Rich and Phil did 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he said himself, he said, I've seen a lot of teams, I've seen most teams, and we are by far and away the best team in this division, just the way that we're coached, we're set up, the way we play, it's streets ahead of anything else. And if a professional footballer is seeing that, he's seeing far more than we ever will.
And it's not just the coach, it's the setup behind the scenes as well. When we go to an away game in the Northwest, we fly up there, we train at Man United's old training ground for a day before the game. Plymouth, like, no offence to them, they can't afford to spend what we're spending just off the pitch with our myriad of men in black suits as well following us around and doing everything for us. We've got the setup to go up. We've got every advantage that we could possibly have.
As long as everyone who's listening, Cheltenham and defend some long throws, though, haven't you? Despite all of that, do you know what I mean?
As long as everyone who's watching and listening just completely forgets this conversation was ever had in like May time.
Why do you think I completely sat on the fence at the start of it, Craig? My hands are clean here. watching Canada is like watching us all over Belgium, but can't score. There you go. Let's talk about Cameron Humphreys then, because I think there's been some overexcitedness about him, but he's been really, really impressive the way he's come in. I don't think we want to get into the complete hyperbole games that you do see somewhere along the line, but what's your take on Humphreys and how he was going to be used, how he is going to be used, and where we're going with him, Seb?
I think he's massively exceeded all expectations. He's probably playing a bit more than they wanted to. We had the conversation at the back end of the summer window. Should he go out on loan, or is he better off service being kept around? Obviously, in the KOA interview with Mark Ashton, he's kind of said that McKenna wanted to keep him here and develop him himself. And I think he's done amazingly well. I think we've got a real, real talent there. You know, he's got a bit of everything. I was at Port Vale when I saw him make a lung-busting run from central midfield to get to the byline and pull a cross back for Ladapo to tap home the third goal. And he's offering everything. You know, he's got a lovely range of passing. We've just got to keep him fit, because at the moment it's pretty much just him and Morsey in the middle. McKenna came out last night and said ideally you probably wouldn't want either of them to have to play that kind of game. But for me, he's been absolutely superb. You know, he's really kind of stepped to the plate whilst others have been out. And I think we've got a real, real gem there, to be honest. He's got a bit of everything, hasn't he? You know, he's got the box-to-box, the energy, the passing range, good shot on him. He's kind of, you know, ticking a lot of boxes, and hopefully he'll, if players are still out, he'll definitely still get a run in the team for now, and he can contribute massively in the second half of the season. But thank God we didn't let him go out on loan, because we'd be really screwed right now if we had it done, wouldn't we?
Joe, is there a danger he might get played too much too quickly? And do you know what I mean? I can't think of the best. Overly fast-tracked because of the injuries?
I don't think so. Look, there's not that many games this season. At the very most, he's going to play 25 games this season, isn't it? And that's if Evans and Ball don't come back or he holds his place in the team. But it's not like someone like when Wayne Rooney comes through at 16 or 17 and he's playing for England and playing in Europe and he's playing 60 games a season. It's I don't know. I'd like to see him play every game from now on in. He looks that good, doesn't he? When you see him just on the ball, that lovely sort of balance in there with sort of right foot, left foot. I say, as good as Lee Evans has been, I don't think he'll get his place back that quickly if Cameron Humphreys continues improving the rate he has been so far this season.
What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, well, obviously echo what the guys said, but I've just been impressed and a little bit taken aback by his engine. You know, as Eric has said there, he's just got it in him. The amount of energy he's got, he just doesn't stop from minute one to whenever he gets taken off. You know, that's what's impressed me. We all knew he had a good touch and a lovely pass on him. But so it's just been that the tenacity as well. You know, he just seems to be adding to each week. You can see him visibly getting better each time he plays, which is only good. One question I'd actually have, maybe for Joe's, what comparison him and Dizel at the same sort of age?
Mm. It's difficult because Dizel burst on the scene so much younger, didn't he? Where Humphreys, I can check my sort of stats from previous years, but I don't remember him ever really playing for the under-18s until he was an actual scholar, where Dizel was playing for them at sort of under-14s, under-15s, under-16s the whole way through. And when he became an under-60, an under-18, effectively, so a scholar, he never played for the under-18s again. He just went straight to the under-21s or under-23s in the first team. So Dizel was ahead, but then this is about the age that Dizel had the bad injury. Mm. So you'll see, but I think if Cameron Humphreys keeps playing the way he is, you're going to be, I'd say, looking at England under-20 squad when the next one of those squads is out. He's got to be someone that they're looking seriously at, because he's got all the ability, hasn't he? And he's playing, he's very versatile. He can play all over, and like we've said, that engine. But no, he's looking really good. And like, in fairness to some of the young players we've had over the previous years, your sort of Flynn Downs, his Tristan Nydams, Jack Lancaster's, Andre Dizel's, he's actually come into a very well-coached, well-functioning team with a good partner alongside him and being able to sort of find his feet in a good side, as opposed to...
Makes so much difference, doesn't
it? And this is... When you've got a young player, you can have all the plans in the world and say, this is what we want you to do. This is how many games you want to get. This is who you're going to play with. This is when we're going to play you. But 99 times out of 100, that situation just doesn't happen and it becomes needs must. Where at the moment, it feels like Humphreys has walked into the perfect situation and has taken that opportunity with both hands so far as well.
100%. Where was that one? Craig, without Davis and Burns, did we lack... Spoonerism. Did we lack width last night? Before Craig answers that, we've got about 9 minutes to go. Get that chat filled with questions. I think we're running dry after this one. Sorry, Craig. Width.
We probably did. We just lacked a little bit of urgency. Burns made a difference when he came on, because he did start to get at his man and, you know, add a bit of impetus down that right hand side. I think we were just lacking. Any real attacking intent or attacking personnel on the pitch. Again, needs must. You know, Vincent Young was was playing right wing, wasn't he? And an advanced right wing, and didn't really take on his man. It's not really his forte, is it? On the left, Lee did his best to get up and down, but you know, he's coming back from injury. Sorry. So yeah, we probably did. And obviously, Edwards couldn't play either. So yeah, I suppose you were, and we weren't getting any joy through the centre because. I say poor old Kamara wasn't having the best of games in that space just behind Jackson.
I'm going to take this one and then I'm going to ask one. Could we beat Norwich yet? Now actually might be a good time to play them, particularly in their stadium if they don't take the lead in the first 20 minutes because their fan base is getting rather grumpy with the very lovely... I find it quite struggling when Norwich hired Dean Smith because... Daniel Farke was obviously very talented, but such a bastard, wasn't he? He was an inglorious bastard, wasn't he? Whereas Dean Smith's very likeable, and it's like, well, that doesn't work managing Norwich. And what I was going to ask you guys, I'll come to Seb. Since in the World Cup, FIFA trying to crack down on, you know, all these ball in play stats and adding a ton of stoppage time on, too much, frankly, in some of the games. Do you think that's something that might drip its way through to English football in the EFL? It might benefit us with some of the complaints.
I hope so at this level. You know, we've seen quite a few times when teams just come and all the S-housery comes out and the time wasting comes out. And then you're expecting an 8 or 9 minute injury time, stoppage time at the end of the game. And it turns out to be 4 or 5. So I'm in favour for it. Like you say, sometimes it is too much. I mean, I don't know where they got 10 minutes for that. I think the second half of the England game seemed crazy, 10 minutes of extra time. But if you know, it was always, it's slightly more longer now than it has been in previous seasons. And if 7 or 8 minutes becomes the norm, then, you know, hopefully it'll force teams to stop all of the time wasting and all of the kind of tactics that we see from, you know, the managers and the opposing players. And I'm all for it personally. You know, if it keeps the game flowing nicer, you won't ever stop that, you know, where you're disrupting rhythm, but at least you've got more of a chance to try and hopefully create something at the end of a game rather than just let games peter out to nothingness.
Joe?
Yeah, well, we pay to watch 90 minutes of football, don't we? Not 60 minutes of time wasting. And it's got some of the games are so bad. Even yesterday, though, Marcus Harness is down injured for ages in the first half, and there's 3 minutes injury time. He was probably down more than 3 minutes on his own. And I say, you can't add every second onto the clock for when the ball's off, taking throw-ins, time wasting, that side of it. But you've got to add, when they say 30 seconds a sub, but some of those subs take four times as long as that. And goals, celebrations, and like we were trying to start the game yesterday, and they would like having a team talk after a goal, having drinks break, and it's like, well, and again, we only had the 3 minutes there. I do think there does need to be some form of independent timekeeping and some rules, like
100%.
The clock stops when the ball hits the back of the net, and it doesn't start again until it's kicked off from the centre circle, and.
When I think you goes take down the injured. Fourth official out, Joe, and replace him with a timekeeper, couldn't you?
Yeah, and like I say, you see it in hockey or rugby where they just give it that X, stop the clock. They don't have to think about it. And like I say, there does need to be something like that because, I say, some games are just impossible to watch, impossible to enjoy.
Other sports do it. Yeah, as you say, rugby does it. Basketball's got a clock you can see. You know, why is football any different from other sports, which are timed? You know, why are we kept in the dark about what's going on? It's weird, isn't it?
I'd like to see, like, maybe the countdown or you know, in the basketball, they have the da-da-da-da-da-da. I'd like some of that piped into the stadium as well.
American owners, matter of time.
Craig, I was going to come to you. The managers now seem to have started up the mind games, and I don't really blame Danny Kelly. I probably do exactly the same thing, but I listened to his interview yesterday, and we're hearing a lot of, oh, well, Ipswich are, you know, they've got way more money than everybody. They've got the biggest squad. Cowley even said our second 11 would finish in the playoffs as well. Do you think this is going to start to be a theme from, you know, I mean, fair enough if the Port Vale manager says it, but the Pompey manager's saying it feels a little bit different. But what's your take on that?
Oh, I don't think anybody's falling for it, are they? Certainly, McKenna's not going to be falling for it. I don't think any sensible Ipswich fans falling for it. They know it. They take it for exactly what it is, certainly from someone like Cowley, who was at his absolute classless
rampaging best.
Oh, he was horrible. I was sitting right above the dugouts, and he was horrible for the him and his brother's worse, I think. The final whistle, it made for, oh no, actually it was the goal, the second goal. It made for a good watching, to be fair. He turned and he was screaming at our director's box. I don't know who, I saw Russell Osman in there. I don't know if he's got a beef with Russell Osman, but he was screaming and screaming at our director's box.
Him and Mark Ashton were giving it to each other in the Portsmouth League game, weren't they?
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
Mike O'Leary had to calm him down.
Yeah. There's been a falling out somewhere.
Seb, will we make it to the third round of the FA Cup?
Yeah, we should, you know, Buxton should be relatively straightforward. Prepare to clip this bit before we've lost 2-0. Yeah. No, Buxton should be pretty straightforward. And then hopefully
we'll get
an attractive tie. You know, we just spoke there about how good our squad is, even the second 11. You know, we should be looking to make that one pretty straightforward and pretty comfortable, especially being at Portman Road. And then hopefully we might get an attractive tie at one of the big boys. Maybe it would be nice, wouldn't it?
I'm trying to think what's going to happen. Preston away?
Yeah, something like Gillingham away.
Because there's a chance of beating them. Someone in the Championship where you've been there a million times before, miles away, you're probably going to lose as well.
Blackburn
away, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You would like a decent Championship side at home. That'd be a good test to see where we are.
Yeah. One that, like QPR or something like that, that would be, you know, if they played the first team, that would be... really, really good, wouldn't it? We are nearly there, guys. Let me do one more here. I suppose. Let's go with this one. Will Plymouth keep going or will they drop away like last season? I'm going to go for... I tend to have a couple of year rule and you always look for the teams that are in year two or three of their process. So I think they might drop off slightly, but not how they did. I think they had six or seven hard games at the end of last season, but I think Plymouth get over 85 points, don't they, Joe?
Well, when you look at what they've got, they're already at like, what is it, 44 points from 19 games. To get 84 points is 41 from 27. That's not even 1.5 points a game, is it? I think they will drop off because they're not going to get 110 points, but it's just they've done so much of the hard work already that they've got room to drop off now. It's just, I said, there's three sides in this division that are going to accumulate a huge amount of points, isn't it? And it is two from those three that will go up. I'm almost certain of the fact that, I say, Peterborough are 10 points behind second at the moment, aren't they? To the sort of run they need to go on to catch up, bearing in mind they're chasing teams who are winning every week, is, I'd say, Peterborough probably need to put together a form as good as Plymouth have done over the start of this season, which is not going to be able to be kept up. So, yeah, it's going to be two from three. Plymouth are a very good side. Like I say, we've spoken earlier about the loan situation with their players. They've got a smaller squad. They're going to have to... They've recruited really smartly last year, but then they lose the players. They've recruited smartly again in the summer. If they lose the players again, how many times can you keep going back to the well? And because even the best managers will get half their recruitment wrong. Mm. If you get half right and half wrong, you've generally done pretty well. You look at MK Dons. They'd recruited brilliantly, 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 finished third last year, got 88 points. And then this summer, the players they bring in, all of a sudden they're 4 points away from safety at the moment, aren't they? And it's very, very difficult to be the side that keeps going back and keeps having to try and find people. And that's what they are compared to us and Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday talked about permanent deal with Mark McGuinness today. And they're just players that Plymouth just would only be able to attract on loan, and players they might lose. So they do seem the side most likely to slip up. But like I say, they've got such an advantage at the moment that they can afford to slip up a bit.
They could sign Steve Coppell on a consultancy thing and bring James Harper and Steve Sidwell into midfield, Kevin Doyle, and then they would get 110 points, wouldn't they?
106.
106. There you go.
And sing a song about it.
That's no blips at all season. Ridiculous. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here for the Blue Monday live Q&A. As Seb had plugged earlier in the show, we will be speaking to penalty whiz kid and excellent former Ipswich Town central midfielder Tommy Miller, who is on the staff at, I was going to say Bakewell then, Buxton, which is near Bakewell, isn't it, Craig?
Probably.
Now, you know random trivia stuff.
I know like the Midlands. It? I don't know the Midlands.
I don't want things. Random trivia from you, Craig. You give it to me. And when I do, you give me that nothing face.
Yeah. No. Buxton, where the water comes from. That's all I know about Buxton.
All of the water comes all from of it. Buxton. But yeah, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will be back with that show. And then I think if I looked at the WhatsApps earlier, we might move the flagship back. This is under discussion because of a big World Cup game on Sunday night. And
Spain, Germany, isn't it? It's at 7 and o'clock
on Sunday. What time is our game on Sunday?
5 o'clock.
Yeah. So, the flagship might be on Monday next week. But who knows? And let's just say some thank yous to you nice people in the chat. Michael, Jules, A, Romeo Dunn, Eric, Charlie, Barles, lots of lovely people in the chat. We thank you so much, and we will see you all very soon. Say goodbye, Joe.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Seb.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Craig.
See ya.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.